luxuries are not the goals of human beings. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam lamented those people who are slaves of their desires and of the luxuries of this life. When he said, woe on he who is servant and slave of dinar, of money and dirham. Woe on he who is a slave of his own dress. Muslims are slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not of anything. Our acts of worship are way of training to rid ourselves from slavery to anything. When we pray, we are training ourselves to get rid of laziness, to be better organized in the society. When we fast, we are training ourselves and our bodies to live on little. So it doesn't matter whether we have food or not. We are trained to live on as much as little. So when we perform pilgrimage, we are trained to get rid of attachment to the best luxuries of perfume and clothes. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is training us, because we must be true servants of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, not servants of anything else. So luxuries in Islamic civilization are way of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not way of serving the body. This is why you find in Islamic civilization that Islamic civilization did not refuse luxuries. Even in buildings, in lifestyle, at homes, the Islamic way of life preceded Western way of life in many, many years and many, many centuries. Yet Muslims had the dunya. They had all the dunya they wanted, but they had it in their hands, not in their hearts. We do have it now when we have it, but we have it in our heart, not in our hands. And this is the difference. When they had it in their hands, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it a servant to them. Ya dunya ukhdumi man khadamani wastakhdimi man khadamaki. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks to the dunya and says, O dunya, be a servant of the ones who serve me, and subjugate the ones who serve you. So when we serve the dunya, we become slaves of the dunya, and we run behind it, and it runs away from us, and we never get enough of it. When we serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah makes the dunya follow us. So we take as little as we wish of it, or as much as we wish of it, and we put it in our hands, not in our hearts. In our hearts we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we can do without it at any moment. Al-Walid ibn Abd al-Malik built the Umayyad Mosque in Damascus. My father was the Imam of the Umayyad Mosque. It's a great school in which Abu Darda and Mu'adh ibn Jabal taught. In that early mosque, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum opened the first schools in that mosque. Al-Walid ibn Abd al-Malik built that mosque. He decorated the mosque with very expensive ornaments. Even the chains of the lamps were made of gold. He put every luxury in that mosque. Now Muslims thought, after finishing the mosque, that the Caliph Al-Walid spent all the public funds and let the Islamic Caliphate poor. All the money that the Muslims had were spent in the building of that mosque. They thought 10,000 workers worked just in the building of that mosque. Now, Al-Walid ibn Abd al-Malik heard the rumors. He ordered that the funds should be put in the yard of the mosque. Those of you who visited Damascus know how vast it is, probably 200 meters by 75 meters. Ordered all the public funds to be put there, and it made a huge mound of gold and silver. Huge mound of gold and silver in the middle of that yard. And he made his speech when the caliphs used to make Friday speech, because the caliphs at the time were scholars, were the best, and some of the best actually, of people in education, not some of the worst as is happening now. And this actually represents just the layer of the society. When the worst are the rulers, then what do you expect from a society? Now, he said, if I wanted to build this mosque a brick of gold and a brick of silver, I would have been able to do so. Imagine the wealth of the Islamic State. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz came to Caliphate later, and you know that he took all the wealth of Umayyad princes and put it back in the public funds. He looked at the Umayyad mosque and he wanted to take all of the gold and put it back in the public funds. There was a delegation that came from Constantinople, from the Byzantine Empire, to sign a treaty with the Muslim Caliphate. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz assigned an interpreter to accompany, escort the delegation wherever they go in the city. When they came into the Umayyad mosque, they looked at it, they were bewildered. They said one statement: people who built this monument will not be defeated and cannot be defeated. This word was conveyed to Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. He decided to leave it as it is. And he said, I will leave it. سَأَتْرُكُهُ شَوْكَةً فِي حُلُوقِهِمْ. I will leave it as a thorn in their throats. So you see here that the purpose of all luxuries in Islamic civilization were not to challenge, were not to attach to the dunya. The purpose was to serve Islam, to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Islamic civilization is a combination of the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the use of the dunya. And the Muslim scholars achieved a level, and this is here to connect Islamic civilization to the sacred knowledge, achieved a level of advancement in science and technology that represents also the pinnacle of humanity. If you think that modern civilization, by mapping the DNA or discovering water on Mars, have defied all previous civilizations, then you are deluded.